So as you can see, the reading is from Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 1 to verse 6. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us an unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god.
That reading, and as we think about that reading, we also look at our key passage, which is from Galatians chapter 5, and this has been what we've been considering, and as Heather has brought to us, that the fruit of the Spirit is what we make ourselves available for the Spirit of God to produce in our lives. So today, we look at the one of kindness. And like I said, each Sunday I would like us to, as we read our focal scripture for that day, we'll go back to our key passage. Do you want to read with me, if you don't mind, please? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Yeah, so as we have said, the fruit of the Spirit is, and all these things are the segments that the Spirit of God, if we make ourselves open to Him, available to Him, to be used of Him, to use these things to touch lives. Someone once asked, did Jesus ever use the word fruit of the Spirit? Did He talk about the fruit of the Spirit? Even though Jesus didn't use the phrase fruit of the Spirit, but He often mentioned fruits in His teachings, and as we can see in John 15:5, each time I read this passage, I remind myself it's not about Him, about me, but it's all about Him. It's just for me to open myself up for Him to come in. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, I like to say that when we remain in Christ, we bear fruit. We don't produce fruit, but we bear fruit. That goes to what I've said before, that the fruit of the Spirit is not my fruit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. But I have to make myself open to Him, available for Him to use. Of course, He says we are the branches. The branches don't go off boasting how they produce fruits. They are just there to bear the fruits that the tree that produce from everything that has happened all around the tree. And so they are there just bearing, holding on to what the tree has produced. So if we remain in Christ, we don't produce kindness, but Jesus produces kindness. But we bear them, we bear these things. And from us, through us, Jesus will touch lives. And also, there were people who bared, who carried some fruit that were not in keeping with what Jesus was talking about, as Jesus mentioned there, that you will know them by their fruits. And He asked, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit,
but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. By what people show off, by what people, you know, give out, you will know actually what is in them. And you know, Jesus always says this. It's not all about what you eat, but sometimes about what comes out of you that define you. And he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, when you see people who talk foul today, sometimes, most of the times, it goes to show what is in them. My prayer is that as believers in Christ, we will make ourselves open to the Holy Spirit to produce these fruits and for us to bear these fruits and bless other people. And so, like I've always said, it's not about us, it's not my labor, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. Like I brought to us that the word fruit has come from the Greek word. I like to bring these Greek words, but if you tell me to stop, I'll stop. That come from the Greek word kapos, which is just fruit, fruit, in the sense of edible things like we've seen. Heather has shown to us this morning. So, kapos. But when you look deep, what actually the scripture is telling us is the offspring of the Spirit's work, the deed, the action, the result, or the profit of being yielded to the Spirit. You know, in an agrarian society, fruit is a good thing, all right? It's the result of hard labor, of hard work. I remember when we used to do our subsistence farming when I was growing up, we produce what we consumed in our house. My dad, my mom, they were very hardworking, and in fact, that has left me thinking what impact, you know, they had in me, and has already helped me to yield, to hold on to hard work. But when we talk about fruit in the spiritual sense, we are talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, not what we do. It is all about the Spirit of God. And that's why when you go back to that verse again, 15 verse 5, John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. Now, going back to the scripture that we brought this morning, this happened around AD 60 as the Apostle Paul was being shipped to Rome to be tried as a political rebel. And he was moving with, the Bible says, around 276 people. And if you remember the story, at one point they had a shipwreck, but God so kind, nobody died. And they swam safely into the island. And as they were there to warm themselves up, a venomous snake came up, fastened itself in the hands of the apostle, but he shook it off. And each time I think about, you know, imagine what happened on that day, I will be wondering what he was praying and how he was praying. You know, I have escaped this shipwreck. Oh Lord, what is about to happen to me? What have I brought myself in? But the Lord is always with us. Praise God. He knows all about us. But the point is that these people were so kind to strangers. And that's why I have brought us this passage. You know, you don't need to know me before you show kindness to me. And just like Sarah has spoken to us about the work of New Beginnings, and of course, several things that we support both here in this country and further afield, you don't need to know me. You don't even need for me to be in the same class with you or in the same kindred with you or be of the same tribe with you or the same ethnicity as you. But when you show kindness, you are showing that because it is in your nature to show kindness. And so these people showed kindness to these 276 people, and they were saved. And well, you know that Malta is one of the was one of the first islands to receive the gospel in the Roman colony. And to date, they say, I've not been to Malta. I don't know if anyone has been to Malta.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe you talk to me more about this. But they say there is a statue of the apostle in that island, and it's now named St. Paul's Island. Is that true? Anyway, that's what they say. And from then, of course, we know that the Lord sent him there, and he brought the gospel to the people. And the Lord uses everything that happens to us. Whatever happens to us, the Lord is always turning things around for our good. Yeah, it's not all the time that we experience things that we say they are pleasant, they are good, but I assure you that the Lord uses everything that we go through for our good. So they showed kindness to the apostle and to others. So the word kindness has come from Greek word Christotis, and that word is translated. It's interesting that the King James Version translates this not as kindness, but as gentleness. Have you discovered it? Have you found out? I read that for us from the King James translation. It translates this place as kindness, as gentleness rather than kindness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But anyway, it's a word that often occurs when people do philanthropy, right? It's a word that describes the disposition of the person that gives the kindness, not the action. And I remember in some countries, I don't know about this country, some politicians, not all of them, when they do their acts of kindness, they place emphasis on themselves. They put the highlight on themselves rather than on the people that will receive the kindness. That was, I tell you a story. There was someone, a politician in a country, a certain country. They spent some money trying to give kindness to people. They spent, like, let's say, maybe £1,000 to buy things for the people. But they went ahead to spend like £2,000 bringing the media to cover what they've done. So they were doing that not actually because of the people, but to blow up what they are doing, to show everyone what they are doing. And you remember what Jesus says: when you do your acts of kindness, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. All he is saying, Jesus is saying, is that when you are doing these acts of kindness, it's not about you. It's about the person that receives the kindness. So this word goes off to show not just about what we do, but the spirit behind what we do. Why we do what we do. If we end up, being kind to people that will return kindness to us in return, then we are not showing off the fruit of the Spirit. But like the people in the island of Malta, being willing whenever, wherever to show kindness to people. Kindness is like, showing someone off as a gentleman or a gentlewoman. And going back to how the King James Version translated this was Christotis as gentleness. So when someone carries that gentleness with them, that person now shows forth kindness, not because of them, but because of the person that receives the kindness. And I like to say, when you now do this, in the spirit of Christ, then there is a difference, because it's now spirit-produced goodness. And that you do that to bless people, and then something will go beyond that. And each time we, you know, give all these things and all that, what I do, I pray and I say, God, may they not just receive the meal. May they receive something beyond that, the grace of God. May something from you touch them. And like we saw the video last Sunday from the Operation Christmas Child, we saw how not just receiving the physical boxes, but the Spirit of God moving with what they've received, and even some of them going further to giving their lives to Christ, and of course, now coming back to serve the Samaritan pause. And we know that most people who volunteer today, they are just giving back because of what they've received. And that was why I want to tell you I became a hospital chaplain, because of the kindness that was shown to Anita when she went into hospital. Because of, you know, people went out of their way, night, day, to care. And you know, people care for us, look after us. And that touched me to say, oh, I've got this skill. I put myself forward so that others will also be blessed in this way. And that was why I put myself forward to become a chaplain. So I have brought us this passage from the King James Version. And I also like to say that kindness is goodness in action. Not in words, but in action. Not blowing off what we've done, but actually being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Why should we show kindness? And you've mentioned this earlier in the day. We show kindness because I believe that God's kindness leads us to repentance. God is very kind to us. And I believe that's the most important thing, the most important reason why we should show kindness. He doesn't treat us because of what we've done, but he treats us because of what he has done in our lives. And I read us Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you pass judgment, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? That's my point. The riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience. Not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. It is his kindness that drew us to repentance. Not for what we did, but his kindness. And he doesn't stop there. His kindness will continue with us until eternity. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you believe that? I believe strongly that his kindness will continue with us. He doesn't give up on us. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7, I read that for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to this, in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He doesn't leave us. He's always with us. Even when we feel that, oh Lord, where are you? He is always with us. Even when we are in our sick beds, He is always with us. You know, sometimes when I go through stuff, I ask myself, where are you? Where is the promise? Where is the thing you promised me? But I always hear the still small voice in me saying, I am with you. Even when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will always be with you. Even when I cry, even when I don't feel like it, I don't know about you, there are sometimes, some days you wake up, you don't feel like going to work that day. You will feel like laying, you know, spending some more time in bed. Does it happen to you? You know, there are sometimes, you know, when you remember some things and they will wear you down, He is always with us. He doesn't leave us. His kindness is with us. His grace is with us. And you know what? He does not give us His kindness because we are in the church. Hello? He doesn't love us because we are Christians. You know what is happening now in the Middle East with Israel and Gaza and Palestine and Hamas? And of course, I condemn extremism. I came from a country that are extreme people, and I know firsthand, and I don't want to go there, but I know firsthand the damage that they can cause to families. All right? I know we've lost people from what they've done. But still, the Lord loves everyone. He doesn't just love Christians and maybe hates Muslims because of what they do. Even in what they do. Of course, there are extreme people in every religion. Yes, it's a pastor saying that. There are extreme people in every religion, all right? But the point is, God loves us, whoever we are, wherever we come from, whatever creed we hold. But you know what He requires of us? To make a step of faith towards Him. He wants us to just be obedient to Him and then turn our lives over to Him. But He shows His kindness to everyone. And that's why each time I know there are biblical prophecies even around what is happening. I don't want to go there. But each time I pray, to be honest, I don't just pray for Israel. I pray for Palestine. I pray for Gaza. I pray for the Hamas themselves. I pray for all these people being affected. And I look at young children. I look at, you know, innocent people being bombarded, sometimes because of what they didn't cause. And I wonder, those who have caused these atrocities, those who are, you know, behind all these things, do they even care for their own people? But I pray for every one of them. I pray for whoever they are. Because God shows His kindness to every one of us. And when we come to Him and become His children, His kindness follows us, never leaves us until eternity. He never leaves us. He will always be with us. Let me close by bringing us one or two people in the Bible that received or they gave kindness that let's think about them as we go home today. The first person I want to talk about is the Good Samaritan. And you know, when you read Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37, you read about the Good Samaritan, what he did, and the kindness, and the compassion, and the mercy he showed to someone who did not believe in the same that he did. But he broke through stereotypes. And Jesus, bringing this story, was trying to also break stereotypes, right? Because the Jews and the Samaritans at that time were against each other. The Jews considered the Samaritans as people of, you know, of lesser religious importance. But Jesus brought us this story to show that kindness knows no boundary. They know no color. Kindness knows no nationality. Kindness can go from one to the other person. The Good Samaritan is someone, when I read about him, I go home thinking about what he has done, the practical things he has done, not just what we say, but kindness is in what we do. Kindness is not what we say, but what we do. And also, in the book of Joshua chapter 2, we remember the lady, the Rahab, that when the Israelite spies came around and they were spying the land. You know what Rahab did? She hid them. And she did not allow them to be destroyed. And the rest, you know the story. I don't want to, you know, finish up all the story. But you know from what she did, the kindness she did, she gave them. She received preservation herself and her family. Do you remember the woman who cried at the feet of Jesus, who sobbed because of what she's passed through, wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair, and poured a perfume, costly, costly alabaster perfume, showed kindness to Jesus. And because of that, Jesus said, wherever the gospel will be preached, the kindness that this lady has shown to me will always go before her. So let's be like these people, showing kindness to others and also making ourselves available to receive kindness. Remember, when we pray that the Lord will use us to serve others, like we do the New Beginnings and other places, also pray that you will make yourself servable. Make yourself available to receive kindness. And also, you know that I always, you know, tell us to care for yourself. When you care for others, also make yourself available to be cared for. The blessed is he that gives, and he that receives. My interpretation is that there is blessing both ways, for those who give and those who receive. Two of them are blessed. So make yourself available for people to bless you. You know, there are people who like to do everything and show kindness to everyone and do everything. Sometimes just take some time, make yourself available for people to bless you. Allow them to serve you. Allow them to help you. Because in doing so, they will be blessed and you also will be blessed. And so today my prayer is that the Lord will help us to consider the subject of kindness, not the deed, but the aura we carry. You know, the reason why we do kindness. And that's where the blessing comes. Praise God. And let us pray for ourselves. And of course, pray for what is happening all across the world today. My prayer is that the Lord will continue to move through what is happening and bring in his own purposes. Father, we thank you for those who show kindness to us. We thank you, O Lord, for those organizations, agencies that show kindness to people around the world, especially right now in the Middle East. We pray, O gracious Lord, for provision for those who give so that others will be blessed. And more especially, Lord, we pray for those families who have lost loved ones. We pray for the little children, innocent people. Lord, we pray that you will protect them, Lord. And we pray above all that you will speak in the hearts of religious, of political leaders, O Lord. And that they will consider the common people for every action they take. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the work that we support all across the world. And today we pray especially for the New Beginnings. We pray that as they serve the homeless, as they bring these hot meals, as they do what they do, that, Lord, your blessings will be upon them. We pray, precious Lord, for our fellowship, that you will continue to use us to show kindness to people, and that you will also help us to be free and ready to receive kindness ourselves. Heavenly Father, we know that you are always with us because your kindness led us to salvation. And your word says you will never abandon us. Your kindness will be with us until eternity. And so we thank you, Lord, for your kindness to us, that you will also use us to show kindness to people. And right now, Lord, we pray for the rest of the day and the rest of the week, for whatever we will do, We pray, O gracious Lord, that the light of your gospel will continue to shine and that you will use us, Lord, to draw people unto you. We pray, O Lord, your blessing upon us as we go on ahead in whatever we will do for the rest of the day. We pray for the travelers of the day. We pray, O Lord, for people who have got appointments this week. I pray for people, hospital appointment maybe. We pray that you will be with all of us. We pray, O Lord, for those who are not able to come with us, those who are housebound, or even those who live on their own. We pray that they will also continually receive your kindness. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are troubled with whatever reasons, Lord, we pray that they will receive the kindness that comes from you. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick. We ask for a miracle, and we ask and we believe that you are the Lord of miracles, that you will do even more than we ask or think, according to your power that works in our lives. Father, we believe you and we trust you. And we pray for the younger ones, O Lord, as they go back to school after their half term. We know, Lord, and also pray for the teachers that you will be with them, Lord, and that you will continue to lead them along the way. Heavenly Father, we pray for the schools around us. We pray that they will know your love. We, O gracious Lord, pray for all the things that we have lined up from now until Christmas, that you will use all these things, Lord, to show your own kindness to everyone that we minister to. We bless your name, Heavenly Father, for we know that whatever that you have started in our lives, you will complete them. And so may your name alone be lifted high. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's